This is the Sean Hannity Show podcast.
All right, thanks, Scott Shannon. Welcome aboard. Glad you're with us. 2012, the year to defeat Obama, save America. Toll free, it's 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. If you haven't joined our Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled Twitter army, it's at Sean Hannity. And I've made up about 500 T-shirts, just giving them out randomly to people on Twitter, and looking forward to meeting a lot of new people. You're gonna have fun there. You can't believe how addicting it is. All right, so we found out over the weekend, not only is Joe Biden a cheapskate, we found out on Friday with 1.5% that he gave to charity, reinforcing a view that I have put forth a long time, and that is that liberals are only generous with other people's money. They're not as generous with money in their own life, and you would think even just for purely political reasons that the vice president would have stepped up to the plate this year after all the criticism he has received in years gone by and donated some money. No, he doesn't. We also found out that President Obama's secretary paid higher tax rates than he did. Why? Because he's using every loophole available to him. For example, he used the loophole. He and his wife, Michelle, gave $12,000 to each daughter, which, by the way, is fine to do, perfectly legal, but it's tax-free. They're out there. We have the U.S. Senate voting today on this gimmicky distraction, which is known as the Buffett rule. And that the same Buffett, yes, that has got a problem with the IRS with his net jets. But Obama's plan is to raise taxes on wealthy Americans, job creators, in order to bring, quote, fairness to the tax code. And he's been arguing this will help pay down the debt. Now, unfortunately, what they're telling you is simply not true. Now, what the president, when he talks about millionaires, that means small businesses taxed as individuals to pay a minimum tax. In other words, more than his 20% of 30%. And for all the rhetoric that this would stabilize our debt and our deficits, the Buffett rule would bring only $47 billion in revenue in 10 years. Now, to put that in context, Obama's budget calls for adding $6.7 trillion to the national debt. So the Buffett rule would cover just 0.007% of all of Obama's debt and 0.001% of Obama's spending. It doesn't even begin to touch on the failure of the president's argument here. And on top of that, the Wall Street Journal makes a good case today that, you know, this case keeps eroding on the Buffett tax that the president is using to basically advance his class warfare narrative. And if it's only going to raise $46.7 billion in 10 years and would leave about 99.5% of the deficit intact in 2013, it's a far cry from his notion of stabilizing the debt. And it turns out that this Obama proposal will, in the end up costing federal revenue. Now, even the New York Times is warning about tax-mageddon. And we've been watching for months now if the president wins re-election. We are now on course for a massive tax tsunami. It'll hit America's middle class January 1st, 2013. Now, I don't know why Republicans aren't screaming more loudly about this, but now even the New York Times is sounding the alarm about the destruction that this could wreak on the already lousy Obama economy. And they point out that as of January 1 next year, the federal tax bill for a typical middle class household making in the neighborhood of $50,000 a year will rise by about $1,750. And that'll come as the expiration of the Bush tax cuts, which the president has vowed to end, and the Obama stimulus. It will follow a decade of little or no income growth for many people. As a result, inflation adjusted after tax income for the median household in this country could now fall to its next low level. And that's what even the New York Times is saying that. Anyway, here to shed some light on this is we got Kimberly Guilfoyle. She's a co-host of The Five on the Fox News Channel, one of my favorite programs. And Mark Levine is with us, attorney formerly employed by the House Judiciary Committee. All right, Mr. Levine. So if the president says that this is going to stabilize the debt and then we look at the actual numbers that would come in, what does that tell us about the president?
It tells us that there's no way he's ever going to get anyone to pay any more taxes if the rich people aren't paying their fair share. It's really very simple. When you have the 400 richest families in America, all of whom earn more than $100 million a year, they used to pay 30%. They paid 30% back in 1995.
Are you talking about the Kennedys?
The economy was very, very strong. They pay only 18%. It is a scandal. You're absolutely right that Obama's secretary pays a higher rate than he does, that Warren Buffett's secretary pays a higher rate than he does, and the president's willing to step up and pay his fair share along with all the rich people
in America. If the president's so willing to step up and pay his fair share, he doesn't have to take these deductions now, does he?
Well, we need a system whereby everyone pays their fair share.
No. You want to avoid. The president, is constantly out there playing class warfare, talking about the tax code. Now, people aren't paying enough. But when it comes to saving every penny he can save, he's using every loophole in the book. And Joe Biden doesn't even try and hide the fact that he's only generous with other people's money. And you come on here and you decry the rich. Now, are you talking about families that have already paid money in income taxes and now make their money from capital gains tax? Are you talking about double taxing at a higher rate? Because most of the rich people like the Kennedys, they have all this money in a trust fund. And all of that money, whatever money they're making in interest, is usually from capital gains. So are you saying that you want to double tax people after they've already paid on income? And unless we double and triple tax them, that it's not fair? Is that what you're suggesting?
What I'm suggesting is that people who sit on their assets and make money only by sitting on their assets and not doing anything
like
are not valuable to the economy.
Like the Kennedys.
People who work hard and have two or three jobs. Yeah. That's exactly right.
So wait a minute. So you're saying that if a family makes money through hard work, success, blood, sweat, and tears, they pay all their taxes on the money they make, and then they decide, I don't want to work anymore because I worked hard enough for the better part of my life. I'm just going to make money and invest money, and I'm going to risk losing it in some cases and make a profit in other cases. So when they make a capital gains, you're saying they're lazy and sit on their assets.
John, I have far more respect for a waitress in Las Vegas who's working hard, doing three jobs and trying to raise her family than I do for a trust fund baby.
All right, so I got a trust fund baby. Do you think it's your money? Do you think you have the right?
I want to tax her at the same rate as the waitress.
But it's already been taxed.
Worked harder than the trust fund baby.
It's already been taxed. That's the point. Kimberly.
Right, it's double taxation.
Kimberly, go ahead.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's double taxation. I mean, Margaret, you're well-intentioned, but you're making the assumption that it's just going to be rich families that are sitting on investments. But that's not the case. There are people here, like my family. I'm a first-generation immigrant, okay? And my father came here, worked very hard, and now I'm paying double tax. He passed away, as Sean knows, and I'm paying money when selling the property that he worked very hard, coming from nothing. And then when you sell the property, you have to pay the estate tax. Now you've got to pay the capital gains tax. And on any income, I just don't see how that is encouraging people to be entrepreneurs, to work hard, to provide for their family. I think that you're misstating it when you're saying it's just applying to what, for example, the poor cocktail waitresses working in Vegas. Why do you want to penalize these other families? A very small percentage you're talking about
Kimberly,
that are just rich estate families.
Yeah, and by the way, that's a very small percentage. And what Obama's talking about is small businesses that make $200,000 to $250,000 a year. They're the ones that are the job creators, where 70% of the jobs in this country are created. And those are the people that you're talking about. You act like you're talking about millionaires and zillionaires whose numbers are few and far between. And as we pointed out with the Buffett rule, would result in a minuscule percentage of, quote, stabilizing the debt. And all this is class warfare rhetoric.
Yep.
Because
Jim, do you get $1 million a year from your trust fund?
I don't have a trust fund.
Okay. Well, then you shouldn't worry about it. Then this won't affect you.
No, that's not true. The president has said $250,000 a year.
Not the Buffett rule. The Buffett rule only affects people that make more than $1 million a year. That's what you're complaining about.
Okay. So why can't you support that? I'm going to give you the answer. Because you know what? When I was a contractor, and I was washing dishes at 12, and then I was a bartender, and then I was a busboy, and then I laid tile, and then I painted houses, and then I hung wallpaper, and then I framed houses, and then I did roofing. The only people that hired me were rich people.
But, Sean, I want to reward the way you were in your 20s. When you were living paycheck to paycheck, I think that kind of hard work should be rewarded rather than the people that inherit millions of dollars from the great-granddaddy and travel around Europe all of their lives. You should have had
I don't know.
But why do you want to punish him now for his success, for working hard? I don't understand that. I mean, this goes completely against everything we stand for in this country about trying to better yourself and work hard and make a better living. To what? Then have it to be triple taxed at a certain point?
Let me throw out a scenario here. Let's say somebody's father invented, Henry Ford, okay? Let's say the great-great-grandson of Henry Ford, because of his grandfather and a trust that he put out there, let's say the great-great-grandfather left him $5 million. But this guy created something amazing, and he wanted to leave some of his money that he paid taxes on to his great-grandson and thought in the future, well, you know what? I want to make it easy for my great-grandson so maybe he'll be free to do something great. So the great-grandson turns 25 years old, inherits a trust fund. And in that trust fund is $5 million. That's his money that was paid. They paid taxes on mm-hmm. early on. What business is it of yours? Whether or not, I mean, do you feel you have the right to go in and take his $5 million? Do you think that you have the right to confiscate it? Do you feel the right if he bought a house with that money that he doesn't deserve that house that his great-great-grandfather gave him? Do you feel that it's your house, that the government ought to take it over? What do you want to do to that poor kid?
Not socialism.
You want to steal? You want to steal his house? You want to steal his money? You want to take more? Yeah, I want to know.
Okay, so here we have. First of all, you know there are limits already in the state tax. You can get about $5 to $10 million tax free anyway. So he'll get his $5 million. The question is when it comes to $100 million or $200 million. And what I'm saying is there are people out there in America.
There aren't.
That are rummaging through trash cans in order to feed their family.
I didn't. But I got that part. Stop. Answer my question. Let's say the guy gave him $100 million. Do you want to empower your government to take $80 million of that to give to the poor that are rummaging through trash cans? Do you feel that you want to empower your government to take the gift that his great-great-grandfather left him?
Who is more morally deserving?
I'm asking you a question. Do you want to empower your government to take that great-great-grandson's money?
I feel more for the person who's suffering.
I didn't ask who you feel more for.
Do you want the
government to take his money?
$1 million rather than $100 million.
So you want?
Poor kid.
So the answer is, Kimberly.
Million.
There's the answer. He wants to.
He does want to. I mean, he's making the case for it because he thinks that it is inequitable. So he's trying to That's what you're doing. This is redistribution of wealth, Mark. Which
complete.
You're supposed to be
point,
against.
Sean, here's the heart of it all. I don't think rich people are more morally deserving than poor people.
Nobody's
I don't think
saying
if you're born
that.
Into a rich
you know what
family,
the difference? You know what the difference is between you and me? The difference between you. What all those years I struggled. And all those years, I had a tough time paying rent. And all those years, I never went out to dinner. I never looked at a rich person and said, give it to me. And the difference between you and me is you want to destroy freedom. You want to take from others. And you think your moral compass is so superior to everybody else's that you're going to redistribute the way you see fit. And the problem is when you do that, that is a dictatorship by definition. Freedom is out the door. And as a result, all those rich people that you don't like are going to take their money and pack their bags and they're going to leave this country and move to more friendly territory,
exactly.
Which doesn't oppress them for being successful.
And they're not going to sell the stuff to put the money back out into the economy because they know they're going to be penalized for it. So believe me, they're not going to be selling or putting any of that money out
there.
You must love
Castro because that's what Castro did when
he
came to power.
You and me, Sean, I see two babies born and I don't see, oh, this is the rich great-great-great-grandchild of a wealthy person and this person deserves to work at McDonald's for the rest of their life. I think all
you know
men
something?
And women are
I flip burger.
Equal,
excuse me.
Deserves an equal opportunity.
Everybody has an equal opportunity in America.
But he wants equality of opportunity and result, and that's where we differ.
And by the way, I'm going to, for the record, I want you to know something. I don't know one single trust fund baby in my life. I don't know these people. I'm defending the principle here that I don't want the government, I don't want your morality being inflicted in the name of, quote, equitability of some kind and destroying freedom of opportunity in this country.
My morality is as old as the Bible. It's as old as the Old Testament.
But you're inflicting it on other people. You're forcing it on other people. That's the difference, Kimberly.
Yeah. I think this is a really bad idea. People are going to hold on to their money. This economy is struggling enough already, and now we know there was talk of another stimulus. That's not going to help either because the first one didn't work to begin with. I mean, this is just all going in the wrong direction. So this is great. This is a great discussion because people are going to have a very clear choice of where they feel this country, the direction we should be going.
Yeah, but Kimberly, the one difference.
Redistribution of wealth or rewarding entrepreneurship.
The difference is he's being more honest than Obama.
Well, that's for sure.
And I think, Mark, I wonder, one has to wonder if Obama thinks like you.
I hope so. Because I think every American deserves a chance, really. I don't think
so
that
do
a poor
I.
child should die just because they're poor.
Neither do I.
It's not a six-year-old's fault that they're poor, and it's not the six-year-old's benefit that he has a great-grandchild who's rich.
Yeah.
All men and women are created equal.
Let's put all our money in a big pot, two each according to their need and from each according to their ability.
I don't believe in guaranteeing results.
No. Two each according to their need and from each according to their ability.
There's a difference between guaranteeing.
What's wrong with Wait a minute. What's wrong with what I just said? American, based on what their needs are, and from every American based on their ability. Tell me what's wrong with that.
What's wrong with that is I'm not a socialist. I believe I'm American.
That would be a Marxist, but who's
I'm American.
Tell me the distinction.
I believe that people should rise and fall based on how hard they work.
No, you don't.
And the merit of what they do, not based on whether they're born rich or poor.
With what you're saying with this capital gains tax. I mean, what you're essentially advocating is redistribution of wealth. That's in direct contradiction.
We got to roll, guys. Thank you, Kimberly. We'll watch on the 5 tonight. Listen. You better take your blood pressure pills before you see Beckel.
Oh, you have no idea. He's already all over me about the Secret Service scandal. Let's say we have very different opinions, and he thinks those boys work too much or are exhausted and needed to have a little fun. And what are the rest of us so uptight about?
Oh, great.
I don't know. I think it's a problem when we're asking the American taxpayers to also pay for the hookers in Colombia. Really?
Oh, boy. We'll be watching. He'll also be on Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern. Thanks for being with us. Quick break. We'll come back. Your phone calls. And much more coming up straight ahead. Juan Williams and Charles Payne coming up on the program today as well.
Sean Hannity.
Hannity Headlines.
A bite-sized version of the show that you can take with you
everywhere you go.
To sign up today for Hannity Headlines, go to Hannity.com.
All right, we're going to be taking your phone calls toll-free, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. We also have Juan Williams, Charles Payne coming up. A great Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel, a national embarrassment, the Secret Service issue. And the left's war on women. Can you afford 4 more years of Obama and Obama's inner circle? All at 9, Hannity and Neil Bortz in studio tonight with Beckel. You don't want to miss that.
We know you never want to miss the Sean Hannity Show.
And now you never have to.
Just sign up for Hannity Headlines. A bite-sized version of the show that you can take with you on your laptop, your mobile phone, everywhere you go. Even to your liberal in-laws' place in Vermont.
So, yeah.
And after a few hours of that, you'll be glad you brought Sean along.
To sign up today for Hannity Headlines, go to Hannity.com.
All right, let's get to our busy phones here. Grace is in Conyers in Georgia next on the Sean Hannity Show. What's up, Grace? How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Sean?
I'm good. What's going on?
I want to, add on to the Hillary Rosen that you were talking about her. What I want to say is I agree with her, and I'm going to tell you why.
You agree that Ann Romney, former first lady of Massachusetts, Ann Romney raised 5 kids, that Ann Romney has never worked a day in her life. You agree with that?
Wait a minute. Let me just explain
No, I'm asking.
Why.
I'm asking.
No,
you agree with that?
No, but I called you, so let me tell you why I'm calling
But I'm asking if you agree with the statement.
Yes, I agree with it, but there's another catch to it. I'm not agreeing with her as far as her just saying that, that's not her. She didn't say it wasn't hard work. But I'm going to tell you this. It is harder to work outside and come home and raise 5 children because I know people that's doing it on $20,000 to $30,000 salary. That is very hard. And I think that you all was really going over the top with what she was saying. He was blowing it out of proportion. That's the way I feel. Now I hang up, and then I listen to your comment.
No, why are you going to hang up? Don't hang up. I want you to hear my answer on the phone.
Go ahead.
You know what this is, and you know what this has been designed to do. You see, and
what?
It's backfiring on you and your liberal friends because you're defending the liberals in this case. This is all backfiring. All this battle, this conflict, this war on women, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm telling you what you're not understanding here. It is condescending. It was meant to be. It's patronizing. It was meant to be. This is against stay-at-home moms, people that make decisions that are different than so-called pro-choice, liberal women, feminists make themselves. Now, they're in the feminists are in their own little sealed bubble, their own little echo chamber, and they've come to believe that their radicalism is as obvious as 2 plus 2 equals 4. I said this on Friday. And they have contempt, dripping contempt, for people that make different choices than they do. It was meant to be condescending.
I don't think so.
Oh, yes, it was. She's never worked a day in her life. What does she know about? What does she know?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it was.
This is where you're taking it over the top.
No, I'm not. This is where I get it right.
Out of proportion.
This is what I get paid for.
And you're the one that's radical because you bring it up every day.
Well, excuse me.
You bring it up all the time. You're being radical.
Hello?
The people that I know.
Oh, it's my fault.
They're just not Democrats.
How is it my fault for talking about the news? What did I do? How is that my fault?
You talk about it every day.
I talk about the news every day, and this is in the news.
You talked about this so much on
I talked about it 2 days last week.
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday and Friday and today, and maybe in your honor, I'll talk about it tomorrow.
That's what I'm talking about. But then you're saying that liberals are being radical about it. You are. You're trying to stir up stuff and
it's my fault. Yeah. And by the way, do you think that the vice president should go on this program, and I want to play this tape for you. He goes on this program to talk about the Republicans' war on women. Do you think this was a good choice?
President Obama is going to be visiting Joplin, Missouri on Sunday. But you know what they're talking about? Like this right-wing slut, what's her name, Laura Ingraham? Yeah, she's a talk slut.
You think that was a right choice to go on to talk about women and women's rights and a war on women?
Well, let me just say this, Sean. You're the one that's always saying you agree to freedom of speech.
I agree to it.
You said
I
all
do.
The time. You said I'm not going to stop anybody.
No, I'm not. Did I say?
I agree to. You said that.
But that doesn't mean
so
I'm not. That
does. On that, show?
That doesn't mean that I'm not going to talk about liberal hypocrisy. You're missing my point. It's liberals and liberal groups that are trying to silence conservative voices and attack them, and they get so outraged. The president was so outraged over Rush Limbaugh's comments that he called Sandra Fluck, but he never called Sarah Palin. He never called Michelle Bachmann. He never called Bristol Palin. And he didn't say a word. And then he took $1 million from the guy that said all these things. I'm allowed to point out hypocrisy. And you know what's bothering you, Grace, more than anything else? Is that
children.
You know what's bothering you in this? Is that you know deep down inside that there's a double standard. You know that there's hypocrisy here by the president on down. And you don't like me exposing it. But I'm not going to stop. I'm going to express my views.
I don't like you, but you're being two-faced about all of it.
No, it's the president who's being two-faced. The president himself, he's acting all outraged.
And
he's
not a crybaby. You are a crybaby. You whine every single day.
Oh, I love it.
And you know you do.
I love
it. You say the same thing all the time, but I like you anyway. Bye.
Well, all right.
Enjoy the rest of your day, Sean.
I love how you take my lines against the president and use them against me. That means I'm really having an impact. Dennis in Stamford, Connecticut, another liberal. What's up, Dennis? How are you?
How are you, Sean? Thank you for having me on. I'm a reformed conservative, recovering Republican, so to speak. And I just wanted to just kind of call you out a little bit on a couple of things that I've heard you say that I find misleading, and to see if you wanted to square that circle with your listeners. Specifically, you mentioned a couple times last week and over the past few days that you feel that Obama should get back the $1 million that he received from Bill Maher.
If he doesn't want to be hypocritical, if he wants to be morally consistent, if he wants to, quote him, lead by example, and the president's going to engage the country on civility and the coarseness of dialogue, then he's got to give it back. Otherwise, he is a hypocrite.
But what I find misleading in terms of that is that you know very well that that's PAC money. It's illegal for Obama.
No, it's not. The president can ask his PAC to give it back.
Well, you have to be very careful on being perceived to control
But the president can say, I don't want money from Bill Maher. He can say those words.
But he doesn't have.
He can say, I don't want my PAC taking money from the likes of Bill Maher. He could say those words and be a real leader, couldn't he?
Well, in order to be fair, then why wouldn't you call for Newt Gingrich to give back the $10 million that he got from Sheldon Adelson?
What did Sheldon Adelson do?
He gave $10 million to Gingrich.
But did he call Sarah Palin or any liberal Democrat the C-word?
Well, I mean, what he does on his program.
No, no, no. The point is the president. You're missing the point. Let me help you out. The president lectured us on tone, civility, coarseness of dialogue, called Sandra Fluck, engaged in that controversy, one of many now he's jumping into. And then the issue of who he associates with, who he's taking money from, now becomes fair game. And that's where the Bill Maher question comes in. I'm not trying to silence Bill Maher's voice. I think, you know what? He's an angry, extremely angry, bitter guy that's not funny. And he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, and he's not. But the president, his PAC took $1 million from it. And if the president's going to lecture us on tone and civility, he should give back the $1 million to his buddy, Bill Maher, or should ask his PAC to give it back instead of defending and say, well, he's just a comedian. And no, these comments were made by Bill Maher in, frankly, just a hateful, mean-spirited way. You don't say this about a woman. You don't say this about their children. You don't attack them this way. And I'll tell you why the president can't give it back, because the president's afraid of Bill Maher. President's afraid of his left-wing base that is already abandoning him. He's trying to excite them now, leaving in toto, because that's all he's got at this point. He's lost the middle of the country. He's lost independents. People that once were screaming for hope and change and fainting in front of him are not that energized because his policies have failed so badly. Then, let's see, Kurt is in Chicago, WLS. Kurt, hi, how are you?
I'm fine, Sean. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
You know, I wanted to actually challenge you about the unemployment numbers. You continually claim that Obama is responsible for the terrible unemployment, but I would like to point out that they were actually losing 700,000 jobs a month when Obama actually entered office. And I'm wondering what specific policy Obama had put forth that would have caused that 700,000 job a month loss.
Well, first of all, if you want to keep going back to the Bush years, you can. If you want to keep blaming tsunamis, he's blamed ATM machines for lack of job growth and kiosks at airports for lack of job growth, earthquakes. He's blamed Fox News, talk radio. He's blamed anybody and everybody. And then when all else fails, he goes back to blaming Bush. The point is this president said he's going to cut the deficit in half. He's given us $5 trillion in new Obama debt, the very thing he called Bush unpatriotic and irresponsible for. And so as I look at the president and I look at his record, and we're going to have fewer people working than we did when he took office, and we have fewer people that we count in the real unemployment numbers than ever before because his policies have failed. He kept telling us that shovel-ready jobs and his stimulus would be ready specifically. And then after shovel-ready jobs didn't exist, he said, well, I guess they weren't so shovel-ready. So I'm telling you that jobs are not being created. When you look at real jobless numbers, the people that are forced to leave the job market, those that have given up because there's no hope in the job market. And 4 years ago, you know, he was elected president now. We're close to 4 years.
Sean, according to stlouisfed.org, there was actually a downtrend in the people leaving the labor force that started in the year 2000, and experts say that's according to demographics.
Let me give you the Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers on jobs for women since Obama became president, okay? Just to help you out. The unemployment rate for women, even with these phony math numbers they use, has gone from 7 to 8.1% since Obama was sworn in as president. The number of unemployed women has increased from 5 million to 5.9. Poverty rate for women has risen to 14.5%, the highest level, the highest rate in 17 years. 3 out of 5 women, since Obama's been president now, these numbers have gone up, over the age 65, cannot pay for their basic daily needs. Obama promised he would fix the economy. He promised he would bring about recovery and jobs and things would get better. And I don't see any metric where there's any dramatic increase except for the debt and the deficit. Nobody's out there that lives in the real world saying, boy, Obama's really turned this economy around. There's not one poll that shows that. It shows just the opposite.
Well, see, you're avoiding my original question of what specific policy did Obama put forth that caused those 700,000
All right, I'm going to give you specifics. Obama's budgets, Obama's health care plan, Obama's stimulus, Obama's son of stimulus. Obama got everything that he wanted passed. Every budget he wanted, he got done. Congress passed it, and he got his plan in place. And as a result, we have $5 trillion in debt. I can't explain it any more simply than that. Aaron in Salt Lake City, KNRS, Rod Arquette Land. What's up, Aaron? How are you?
Hi, Hi, I'm good, thanks. Hey, I feel a little close to, you know, what's happening with this whole Ann Romney stuff, because I myself have multiple sclerosis, about 7 years ago diagnosed, and I stay at home. And I just think that this war on women and this war on Ann Romney particularly is really out of control, especially if you want to take a look today at Twitter, what a lot of the left is saying about her being her birthday, and I won't get into that. But I think that, you know, just a couple years ago, I left a job because of my health is one of the reasons where we were making almost $100,000 a year, and we left Hawaii and moved back to Utah and are living with my parents also because I help take care of them. But you know, and we've gone drastically, I mean, drastically, more than cut in half our income. But a lot of that reason that I'm home, too, is because of the way I feel like we need to be home to raise our children. And what I don't think that Hillary Rosen and a lot of the left that
I've
are out
to,
there.
I've got to run here, but you're dead on the money. And let me just say your sentiment is right. You know, this was meant to be insulting. It was meant. The Romneys, after all, are rich. The Romneys, oh, what does she know about the real world? She's rich. That's what it was meant to be. And it was just, as far as I can see, it was as simple as that. And that's why most Americans are reacting the way they are. And that's why this has backfired for them. All right, when we come back, we've got Juan Williams and Charles Payne are going to join us. More on the Democratic war on women. We'll have full coverage of that tonight on Hannity 90s. When do you see this RNC ad tonight that is out? Very strong, very powerful, very effective. And apparently, you know, it's getting a lot of attention. The left's war on women. Can we afford four more years of Obama and more on Obama's inner circle? And tonight we look at Kevin Jennings, the safe school czar. Wait till you see his opinions tonight at 9.